Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship thee. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, I love you, my Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. No, Lord, we do pray that when we sing, and not just that we would sing in worship time on Sunday, but throughout the week, singing to you, Lord, whenever a song comes to our mind and to our heart, that we'd sing to the Lord. Because you've said to us, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And so each day we thank you, Holy Spirit, for putting a new song in our hearts and our mouths. We know that as the praisers went out before the army of Israel, that the army of Israel was encouraged, the enemy was discouraged, the enemy was scared off, and it's still the same, it's true today. We have a song in our hearts, and we speak it forth, and we thank you, Lord. And now, Holy Spirit, we certainly do need for you to be our teacher from the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, everything we need to know about life and godliness. We just thank you, Lord, that you, God the Holy Spirit, will teach us, and we will continue to learn, and we will continue to grow, not just to read, but to learn, not just to hear, but to do. We thank you. As always, we pray in Jesus' name. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're going to take a look at chapter 3 of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, and as I mentioned earlier, Passover finishes today. Actually, last night, and Orthodox Easter, which is always worth taking the time to discuss things like that, because even though we may not totally agree with some of these things that other Christian denominations are doing, or the timing of things and so forth, the body of Christ being visible and invisible throughout the earth, that we would be aware of what other people do and why they do it. That's part of, I think, the unifying force without that the Lord is using to bring us together as the remnant. Not that we would compromise with what is biblical and true, but that we'd understand that sometimes people date things a little differently. And obviously we've had different calendars. We've had the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar. So many things are done a little differently or timed a little differently. But I am just always thrilled whenever Jesus is glorified. When anyone lifts up his name, when anyone talks about him, when anyone gives honor to him, I'm thankful for that. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3. And of course, we have our young man who's doing the counting here. And there are how many verses in Galatians chapter 3? Sean? I think that is true, yes. So, how many shall each of us read?
Seven.
All right, why don't we start with Mrs. Lear reading 7. Everyone read 7, and I will read the final 8.
Okay. From Galatians chapter 3, and read verses 1 through 7. This is from the English Standard Version. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version.
I'm reading Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Scripture which saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, foretold the good news to Abraham, saying, through you shall all the nations be blessed. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham who had faith. For all who depend on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not preserve in doing all the things written in the book of the law. And that no one is justified before God by the law is clear, for the one who is righteous by faith will live. But the law does not depend on faith, rather the one who does these things will live by them. Christ ransomed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brothers, in human terms, I say that no one can or amend even a human will one ratify. I read from Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 through 15.
And continuing Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 from the English Standard Bible. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. If the law then contrary to the promises of God, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if the law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. And that was from the English Standard Version, Galatians chapter 3 through verse 21.
Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Translation today. Galatians chapter 3, beginning of verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Praise God for the reading of his word. We've just read the entire chapter of Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 29. Now, one of the most prominent, let's say, points here in this chapter of Scripture is found in verse 11. We'll say that's sort of the turning point, if you will, of the chapter. The just shall live by faith. Now, we'd ask ourselves, am I a just person? We should all ask ourselves that. And what is it to be just? For example, the song that we sing, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Of course, coming from Micah 6:8. So the idea of being just, and the word justice, and is there any justice in this fallen world? We know that this world many times is not very fair. But is there justice in this world, or will we only see justice really prevail when Jesus comes again in his heavenly kingdom forever? But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. So we have many instances, for example, that word justified. And some people have defined it by saying, okay, that's like, just as if I had never sinned, right? Perhaps that's a good definition of that. But basically, that no one is declared justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And it's also interesting that this is not just a New Testament concept in a sense. If we went to Habakkuk, Chapter 2, verse 4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And so we know that the doctrine of works, of course, as we look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for example, you say by faith and not by works, lest any man should boast. So I believe the older that I get, the more I realize that there are some things that I could not have done if God had not given me the life to do it, if he hadn't given me the air in my lungs to do it. And so we're justified not by our own doing, not by our own works, but justified by faith. And of course, the premium, if you will, for living by faith is growing all the time. And living by faith, sometimes you think of, well, it's trusting God to put food on the table, or trusting God for a job, or trusting God to have the money to pay bills. Well, that's part of it. But it's not just that. Because of the way the chapter points out, it starts off by saying, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? So here's a situation. They've seen the truth. These Galatians seen the truth. They've seen their only hope is through Jesus, but somebody has come along and talked them out of that. That's the way of the world, and that, of course, you know, when we said it, that we are justified by faith. What faith? Not faith in pet rocks, not faith in the arm of flesh, not faith in our own strength, And of course, is it a contradiction with James 2:17 that says the just shall live by faith? No, it's not a contradiction. Or saying that faith without works is dead. James 2:17, faith without works is dead. So we're justified by our faith in Christ, knowing we can't save ourselves, that Jesus was crucified and died for us. He took our place. And so, knowing that, we're going to do the works that speak of our faith. I had an instance the other day up there in North Conway. My usual idea is to hand somebody a Bible tract or talk to them directly about the Lord, but I'm also realizing how our actions and concerns that we show for people is also a way of reaching them. And this kind of a hippie-looking guy had earrings and nose rings and piercings and tats all over him, and, you know, sort of a Rastafarian hat and, you know, stud in his tongue and all this kind of stuff, which I have to admit, it's just not my generation, not really something I'm too cool with. But
yeah, I think it's beyond, it's not mine either.
Yeah.
There's something that's going on there that's not generational.
Yeah, so I mean, whatever that's about. And, you know, I talked a little bit with him, and then we were sitting down, and I heard a crash, and I looked over, and he was on his knees, and he had dropped a bin with glasses in it, and there was glass all over, and I just felt I needed to go over and say something to him. And I said, "Are you okay? You know, you're not hurt, are you?" Or anything. He goes, "Oh, no, no, I just feel pretty silly." And I said, "Well, I just wanted to check on you." He looked at me and he stood up and he said, "Well, thank you, my friend." You know, nobody paid any attention to him except me. And I'm thinking, okay, with the Holy Spirit, you know, by faith, I'm justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. I have the faith to believe that if I just showed concern for him, that might touch him, and for him to look, and he sincerely looked me in the eye and said, "Thank you, my friend." You know, and I was, that just was a great opportunity for me. I mean, so here we have the Galatians: who's bewitched you? Who's now come along and sold you this bill of goods that you can do this yourself? You can work your way through your own salvation. You don't need to trust in Jesus. But as verse 12 says, "Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." And of course, the issue is, okay, if the law was our salvation, how would we be able to keep every single law and every little jot and tittle and every little detail? And so, and Kathy and I were talking about this the other day in our devotional time, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All is everybody, everyone that's ever lived. And see, we could say, well, we're born with the sin of Adam, so what hope is there for us? But even though we are born with the sin of Adam, of course, Jesus covers that too, but even though we be born with the sin of Adam, we still go out and we're all sinners. So if we're talking to somebody and we're talking about sin and somebody starts to feel badly, like, "You accusing me of being a sinner?" No, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm telling you what the scriptures say. And by the way, I am a sinner myself. But I'm a sinner saved by grace. And so the idea is, when we look to Jesus, and this is going to become more and more prominent, because everything that we've trusted in seems to be getting shaken. I mean, every single day. And people have a tendency to want to look at cult heroes, like, you know, this musician, singer, Prince dying. People are looking to these people as if they were their idols, if they were their salvation, then they're gone. You know, or whether political leaders, or looking to anybody, sports stars, and then they're gone. And what a disappointment. But anyone who looks to Jesus doesn't lose out. He becomes stronger, not weaker. We go to verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And so the issue is, we have to ask somebody, and I'm learning this a little bit better. If somebody says, "Well, I'm a believer. What do you believe in? Who do you believe in? That's a question we're going to ask, because the blanket, I'm a believer. What's that mean? Because if you're not a believer in the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, then whatever you're believing in is not salvation. It's not going to save you. It's not going to help you. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Isn't that an interesting way to put the commands of the Lord in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that we were basically kept under guard? And so I suppose I look at society knowing that at one point in time, a judge ruled in Kentucky that they had to take down the Ten Commandments off the school wall because the students might see them and might want to do them. But this description is one of the reasons why having the Ten Commandments there is a good idea. Because the Ten Commandments were keeping guard, if you will, on people. Not the total fulfillment, but at least keeping guard. I mean, here's the rules. And of course, how can any society function without rules? That becomes anarchy and chaos. We get a lot of that going on. We're certainly seeing that in a lot of these political rallies and everything. Terrible stuff. I watched something the other day on the internet about one of the rallies. It was against Trump. But it was terrible. Women were taking their shirts off and being bare-breasted. And I noticed a lot of Hispanic guys, you know, down with Trump, get rid of Trump and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, this is like a form of anarchy that's going on to try to destroy anything and anybody that might stand up for anything at all, and if they stand up for anything that is not agreed upon. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And that, you know, has sort of a double intention, doesn't it? Because we're under a tutor till what point in time? Till we've learned enough so we can stand on our own 2 feet and we don't need to be instructed by a tutor. It's like saying, okay, you don't spend your whole life in organized school. You graduate from high school, you graduate from college, you graduate from an advanced school of some sort, graduate school. But eventually you're out of school and you stand on your own 2 feet and now you apply what you've learned. And that's the challenge to us of the just to live by faith. I've got to believe that what I've learned from the Lord, what I employ in my life from the Lord, is going to mean something and it's going to do what the Lord has said it's going to do. And so being justified by faith or living by faith, the just shall live by faith, is not just trusting the Lord to protect you. It's not just trusting the Lord to provide you food. But it's trusting the Lord that what you believe in Him will in fact work out to be exactly as He has said. And I'm no less convinced of that than I've ever been, and I'm more convinced that Jesus is that only hope that we have. And there are people who say that they are Christian, or people that go to church, or people part of certain churches, that obviously they don't have faith in Christ. They have faith in, and of course we've had this movement for quite a while now, of basically social movement, social equality, and trying to fix things up that way, but it hasn't really worked because it doesn't address the very nature of man's sinfulness. It can't. I mean, otherwise sociologists would be saviors, and Jesus didn't come as a sociologist. He didn't come as a psychiatrist or a psychologist. He came as a savior because He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. It's also interesting when you know, these days when people have their different attitudes, as we've discussed today about these gender issues and what people are believing. Somebody might look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now some people might look at that and say, okay, we're all equal. Yes, well, we're all equally created. That's codified, you might say, in the Declaration of American Independence. But the idea that there is neither male nor female, That does not mean that there are not specific genders that God has given. That's improper exegesis of Scripture. It'd be taking the Scripture out of context. You know, but the idea is that salvation is genderless. The Lord saves sinning men. He saves sinning women. He saves sinning Greeks. He saves sinning Jews. And of course, that's some people don't believe that the Jews need Jesus. They don't need Yeshua HaMashiach. And of course, HaMashiach means Messiah. They don't need Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, but they do. Because Scripture tells us that they do. And so if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And of course, that promise was given to Abraham, that we read about it actually in this chapter as well. That just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so we have no righteousness of our own, but as we believe in the example of Abraham, remember we used to sing for the kids in Sunday school, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Father Abraham had many sons and daughters, and I am one of them, and so are you. Through Jesus, we inherit the promise that was given to Abraham. And what was the promise? That from you will come many nations. And so, once again, so often, whenever we're studying Scripture, what should really shout out to us is, hey folks, things may be chaotic today around the world, in our own country, in our own neighborhood, but God has a plan. And as we know, Abraham sort of messed up in some parts of that plan, but the plan stayed on track. Because the plan was not according to Abraham, it wasn't according to him, it was according to the Lord. And that's so important we recognize that. And as we see, you know, how can we be encouraged even today with all the things that we see going on? God has a plan. He's working his plan. I'm sure of it. And his plan will continue to work. And we can trust in him. And we can encourage other people. And there are a lot of people that are very discouraged these days and don't feel like anything they can do matters anything. Why bother? I hear that a lot. Why bother? It's all done. You know, it's all luck. Well, I'm glad that other people didn't have that attitude. I'm glad that Abraham didn't see the situation that he was in and throw up his hands and say, okay, that's a nice promise, but I don't see how that's going to ever happen. And he did somewhat, as we read about what he said to the Lord, how can this be? But we can say the same thing for us today. How can it be? Well, the just shall live by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And so we're checking out what we believe. That we'd be justified by faith and receiving the promise that the Lord has provided. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and encourage us. There is a plan. It's not my plan, but it's yours. It's not our plan, but it's yours. And our plan joins in with your plan because we believe in what you have provided for us already in greater days to come, even in the troubled times, because people are looking for solutions and answers. Well, we'll take them right to the Word of God where they will find those answers to their questions. Every question is answered here. We thank you for that, O Lord. Glory in your name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.